Welcome back. Check this out. By cooking up a fake comet, scientists have produced the first formation of a key sugar that is required for life as we know it. By creating ices similar to those detected by the European Space Agency's Rosetta mission, which made the first landing on a comet, scientists were able to produce a sugar that serves as an important ingredient in RNA, an essential ingredient for life. Amazing. You can check it out right now over at coasttocoastam.com. I'm your host, Jimmy Church. It's Friday night. It's open lines, and I'm taking your calls next. Let's do this. This is Coast to Coast AM. Welcome back to Coast AM. This is your host, Jimmy Church, sitting in for George Norrie tonight. He'll be back on Monday with Jeff Finn and John Greenwald of the Black Vault. It is Friday night. Open lines right now on this cold and rainy night here in Los Angeles. And trust me, right now, the studio is dark. Let's go right here to Long Beach. Alex, welcome to Coast AM. Is it raining down there?
Yes, it is.
Right on, Alex.
How are you, Church?
I'm doing good, man. What's cracking tonight?
Well, what's cracking is that I have a really crazy story about this older gentleman that I know for years.
Talk to me.
The same thing. When he was young, he tells the story that he was abducted in Mexico. And, you know, many years after, he's about 60 years old, the guy doesn't look 60. He looks 52, 50, not even close to what his age looks. His hair has fallen out because he says that when he got abducted, the radiation of the, you know, the craft actually made his hair fall.
Yeah, it makes sense. Sure. Yeah,
his fingertips are pretty numb, and he doesn't feel any pain in his fingertips, which is crazy. You know, he also says about aliens, but they're not like the typical aliens. These aliens have, you know, like humanoids. They all have the same expression, blonde hair. They look like, you know, like I would say blonde hair, blue eyes, you know. I'm not sure what they would be called. And that's what the question was for, you know, for the gentleman that was just...
Yeah, for Adam. Yeah, yeah. And those are good questions, and I wish I could answer those too as well. But it's interesting that these two obviously don't know each other, you know, Adam and your friend, or your friend said, they don't know each other, but yet something is feeling similar here. And I've noticed the same thing, Alex, and thank you for the phone call. I have done hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of interviews, contactees, experiencers, abductees, researchers, authors, and so forth over the years. And the similarities that are there, it's astounding, you know, and it just makes you just come to the conclusion and say, something is going on. I don't know what it is. I haven't figured it out. I don't think anybody has. But something is going on. There's way too much testimony and witnesses and so forth out there.
Yes, there is. That's right.
Alex, I want to thank you for the phone call, brother.
You know, I forgot to ask something also. He actually has an implant that when he puts a magnet to it, his skin raises up, and you can see his skin raising up. He showed me before. He showed other people. He actually has videotape of a light coming down because he has a workshop coming down on his meditation moments.
Right.
And he has the video of where, you know, this light just comes from nowhere, and it just glows in the middle. It's really strange, really crazy.
Well, and stay tuned to the show, because I've actually got something that we're going to be talking about very soon here with also magnets on the skin. I don't want to give anything away right now, but it's also interesting. Alex, thank you for the phone call. Let's head out east. Let's go to Indiana. And Walt, welcome to Coast AM.
Hey, Jimmy.
Yes.
Jimmy, it's Walt. I just wanted to say that I was listening to your last hour, and all of those people are probably quite truthful. I have experience investigating abductions. I've not been abducted myself, but I've covered a number of people who've had lifetimes of experiences, and I have some ideas that it's not one thing that's happening. It's a multiplicity of things.
No doubt about that.
If you're familiar with the, and I think you probably are, Corey Good.
Of course. I talked to him the other day. Well, see, this is, let me jump in, Walt.
Well, I just wanted to just make a suggestion.
Sure.
MUFON has opened up. 3 years ago, they were not interested in abduction cases. I suggest that people who've had experiences go to the MUFON website, make a report, tell them you want to keep it confidential, because what a lot of people do is they try to talk to their friends, and the friends have no idea. They think they're crazy. These people are not crazy. And more solid investigations need to be done because this whole thing is becoming so in the open that eventually it will break out. It won't be disclosed unless by accident, and it's only through investigations by careful investigators. And there's still some people in MUFON who don't believe that, you know, this is real, even. I almost quit a couple times.
Well, I agree with you, Walt, on a couple of different points, and thank you for the phone call. And one of them is that no abduction, well, they're not all identical. And the people out there that don't know anything about what the abduction phenomena is, they're hearing it for the first time, they assume that everything is going to be identical. Like they're all going to be blue Civics, Honda Civics. Everything is absolutely identical. And it can't be, and it's not. I look around the studio here right now at Coast to Coast, and everybody here looks completely different. Dan, the board op, complete freak. And our producer, Bobo, in behind the glass, completely freakier than Dan. And then look at me. I'm the opposite of those two. But we're all three males, right? But if we stepped off of a spaceship right now, went to another planet and stepped off, they would think that we were from three different planets because we look completely different. And that's the way that you have to look at anything else that would be visiting us here. Nothing would be the same. You can't look at it that way. Walt, I couldn't agree with you more. And I want to thank you for that phone call. Let's go to first-time caller line, Victoria, British Columbia. Jeff, welcome to Coast AM.
Well, hi, Jimmy. How are you doing?
I'm doing good, Jeff. What's on your mind?
Sounds like you're doing good. You got one nice voice.
Okay.
I know why you're on radio.
I had this voice when I was five. And let me tell you something. When I wanted Pop-Tarts and my mom heard this voice, I got my Pop-Tarts.
I would think so.
That's right, Jeff. What's on your mind?
Anyway, here's your Pop-Tart. Here's my theory. All this stuff about aliens and that, it's all BS. Because the universe was created 14 billion years ago, right?
Approximately.
And so why would there be a civilization out there that's any different than ours? We've only gone to the moon.
Well, I'll jump in. I can answer that. That's the easy. Thank you, Jeff. And now, tomorrow, you'll be able to repeat what I'm going to tell you right now.
Right.
Earth is 4.5 billion years old. Okay?
Right.
Approximately. And right now, what are we doing? Right now, today, man. We have Hubble, we have Kepler, we have Voyager, we have Pioneer, we have 6-7 probes right now on Mars. I don't know how many on Jupiter. We've got Cassini orbiting. Right now, we are exploring our own universe. We have hundreds of thousands of telescopes all over the planet, backyard, amateur, real observatories, doing one thing, looking out into space. And right now, with our primitive little self, with our 100 years of technology since electricity came around in 1900, and we've come this far. Now, if somebody is just a little bit smarter than us, a little bit older, maybe by a simple 1,000 years, you don't think that they are not doing the exact same thing that we are? they're out there looking for planets with life on it too. They want to know if they are alone or not.
That's exactly my point. But even if they're 100 years or 1,000 years ahead of us, they're still not going to be able to travel to another galaxy.
How can you say that? Somebody with 1,000,000 years, 10,000 years of advanced knowledge from us, that they can't harness the power of a star and create a wormhole or a black hole or figure out how to pass through a dimension or fold space and get here in 1 minute? Not in 10,000 years, in a minute, in 2 minutes, in 5 minutes. That's what I'm saying, though, is
the universe is 14 billion years old. And
right.
Our planet's 4 billion.
Right.
So, it took us 4 billion years to get to this point.
No, it didn't take us 4 billion years to get to this point. It took us 100 years to get to this point. Man has only been, Homo sapiens sapien has been here for 100,000 years, 125,000 years. It didn't take us 4.5 billion years to get to this point.
Well,
it took us 100 years.
Our planet's 4 billion years old, but it's taken 4 billion years to produce a creature like us.
No, I disagree, because life has formed on this planet numerous times. It started over. Look at the dinosaurs. They're not here anymore. Extinct. So many extinction periods have happened. Man has been wiped out, and started over. So it didn't. If man was here 4.5 billion years ago on this planet and developed for 4.5 billion years, that's a different story.
If we, with our brains and our intelligence, were around 4 billion years ago, of course we'd be in another galaxy.
Exactly. There you go. See, you answered it for me, Jeff. And I totally agree with you.
So.
I totally agree with you.
But that's my theory. It's like, I don't think that if the universe is 14 billion years old and it's taken us 4 billion years to evolve.
Jeff, you're missing the point, though. It hasn't taken us 4 billion years to evolve. Thomas Edison, we're talking about 1890, 1880. Tesla, electricity, AC/DC, 1880, 1890, 1900. This is 2016. So it's been 125 years of real development of technology. The Wright brothers flew in 1903. It's 2016. That's the period of time we're talking about. We're not talking about 4.5 billion years. Man, Homo sapiens sapien is 125,000 years walking on this planet. So if you take that in context to other planets out there, of which there are 50 billion habitable planets,
there's probably innumerable numbers, but they're all the same age.
And they all know we're here. You know why? This is a bright... Listen, Jeff, this is a bright, blue, beautiful planet. This doesn't look like Mars. This doesn't look like Jupiter. This doesn't look like Saturn. It's beautiful, blue, vibrant, full of life, with lights all over it. If you were driving by here and you were in your spaceship and you look out the window, you would stop and go, I need to stay here. I need to check that out. And they know we're here because we're out looking for the exact same planets, and we're finding them. And in this little 100-year window of the ability to look to the stars. And if we're doing it, they are doing it by the boatload. Thousands of races and planets know that we are here. And there's no other way to look at it than that. I want to thank you for the phone call, Jeff. I don't want to run out of time here, but thank you so much. And we'll see you tomorrow night right here on Coast. Let's go to Massachusetts, Far East Coast. Robert, welcome to Coast AM.
Jim.
How are you?
Do you want Jimmy's on that? That's what we call sprinkles here in Massachusetts.
Is that right?
Yeah. You're in the 818?
We're in the 818.
Oh, are you with the Burbank Wrecking Crew? Or you weren't with them?
The Burbank Wrecking Crew in the music business?
No, I must be thinking of Billy the Bill Collector. Wrong, at the wrong station or something. Anyway, what was I going to say? I was fascinating listening to all your callers so far.
Yeah, thank you. What's on your mind?
Well, I was thinking about what the your guest was talking about his history with what was it? Well, my analysis of that. What was that guy?
Adam. Adam. Yeah. Really quick, Robert. We're going to run out of time.
Well, I seem to feel as though he was rejected by the aliens, and they just didn't know what to say to him.
Well, that's interesting. But also, if you think about it, they did nothing but come back and revisit and revisit and revisit him for 50 years. So, yeah, that's an interesting take. But I kind of see the opposite side of that. Let's go to Ontario, Canada, International. Michael, welcome to Coast. Michael, you're live. Okay. Let's go to Pendleton, Oregon, and Brandon. Welcome to Coast AM.
Good morning.
Good morning.
It's 1:25 here.
Same here. It's 1:26. What's on your mind, Brandon?
Well, I listened to this guy and everything, and I agree with a lot of what he's saying about the UFO things. We are not free to call us, but your gifts. I've had a experience since when I was a kid, when I was 9 years old. I got in a really bad car accident with my grandmother and my sister. Basically,
hey, Brandon, I have to jump in. You're breaking up. You're going to have to call back. Your cell phone is like disconnected. Let's go to Georgia. Micah L. How are you?
Hello.
Welcome to Coast to Coast. Turn me down in the background.
I already did.
Okay, good.
I don't want that kind of interference. Yes. I called because I wanted to share with you some very interesting information. See, most people don't realize that every time they call a child a kid, they're actually using a word that was in origin a derogatory word for a child, when they call a child a kid. Because Webster's Dictionary College Edition defines a kid as a young goat or occasionally an antelope.
Yes, yes. Okay, but what's your point?
My point is that that term kid should not be applied to a child because it equates a child with a baby animal. The definition for the word kid does not include child or kids, children.
Okay.
It only applies to baby animals.
Okay.
And see, when people equate children with baby animals, it is an insult. It is dehumanizing. Now, let me take, for example, most adults would feel insulted if a person, knowing that they were given a name at birth, insisted on calling that person a kid.
Okay, all right. See, what's funny about that, Micah, is I'm not offended by it. And I call my kids all the time, and I see farm animals that are called kids, and I'm cool with it. So there you go. This is Coast to Coast AM. It's Friday night. I'm your host, Jimmy Church. Open lines for the rest of the night. Yeah, we're pretty jammed up here, but I'm going to get to everybody. Our guest tonight was Adam Ambrose. And what did you think about that amazing conversation? This is Coast to Coast AM. I'll be right back. All right. I want to remind everybody of a couple of things really quick. At the end of this month, I will be up at the New Living Expo in San Francisco, California. Be up there for 3 days, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. It's just south of the San Francisco airport. And all of that information is over on my website, jimmychurchradio.com. You can just click on my name at Coast to Coast. It'll take you straight there. My show, Fade to Black, airs live 7 to 10 p.m., Monday through Thursday, every night right before Coast. And we do that by design. You can listen to me and get your full 7 hours of paranormal on by rolling right over and listening to George. With that, tomorrow night, I'll be back. My guest will be Carmen Balter. We're going to be discussing the breaking news out of Egypt with King Tut's tomb. She is one of the very, very best. And all of her research, of course, in Egypt. I'm your host, Jimmy Church. The rest of the night is your phone calls, and I'll be right back. Stay with us. Welcome back to Coast. I'm your host, Jimmy Church, sitting in for George. He'll be back on Monday. It's Friday night, open lines. We have a full rack in front of us. Let's go to Alaska. Anthony, welcome to Coast AM.
Am I on?
You're on, Anthony.
Hey, thank you for taking my call, Jimmy. I love the music because it reminds me of being a teenager in college because music always stimulates memory, right?
That's the point. That's the point.
Yeah, I remember that girl.
Yeah, right. What's on your mind, Anthony?
Well, it's kind of a paranormal ghost story because I was been a non-believer of that. And my ex-wife used to watch Ghost Hunters, like, fanatically. And one night, we're sleeping in bed, and she starts screaming and backpedaling towards our headboard. And I'm like, what's going on? And then she goes, I just saw a little man at the head of our bed. And I thought, well, that's all baloney. You've been watching too many of these junk TV shows on TV of these ghost reality shows because several years ago they were pretty popular. Well, about 4 months later, her father dies, right? And he didn't want no funeral. And the same thing happened. She starts screaming, backpedaling. And then I looked towards her torso, and I saw an image, and we had two boxer dogs. And we have a fawn boxer. I saw the hindquarter, the stomach, the back, and just part of the leg, but it was galloping in place over her torso. And as you wake up from a dead sleep, you know, you're very groggy, and I pushed with all my might, and it was galloping in place, and it faded towards her left foot. And then she said, oh my gosh, I just saw my dad. And I told her, well, I just saw our dog floating over your stomach, and I pushed it away.
Wow.
Exactly. And so this is like at midnight. So we get up, and we didn't want to go back to sleep. Because a lot of this stuff happened when she was sleeping. And I've always been a non-sayer, a non-believer at paranormal activity. And I figured, well, it's just all the stuff she retained by watching TV. So we stayed up till 2 a.m. And we just kind of sat there, kind of shaking a little bit. And then, and I'm a kind of a semi-believer that maybe some people attract spirits towards them.
Yeah, there's no question about that. No question about that.
And then I'm sitting at home, sleeping, and the TV's blaring. I'm dead asleep. And you know how when you wake up, you're groggy and you're just not all to it. But I saw like a dark mass in our hallway, and I'm like, and I figured, well, I must be really, really tired or asleep. I saw a dark mass in the hallway when I was watching in our living room. I'm like, well, that's kind of weird. And then let's fast forward maybe about, 2 years, 3 years after my event, I was commuting from my hometown to another city. And my daughter was living here. She was about probably 23. She goes, you're not going to believe this. She just woke up and she saw a woman standing in the doorway. She said she's about probably 6'2", wearing all black dress and a black shawl over her face. And she just walked down the hallway.
Wow.
Exactly. And our house is not over any kind of, next to any kind of ceremonial site or next to any kind of cemetery. You know, for a while there, I was a total non-believer of this paranormal activity, but I've been a long time listener of Coast to Coast because my ex-wife would listen all the time, and I just like turn it off.
Well,
but, you know, I got addicted to the show. I started with Art Bell, then George came on, and then all the other guest hosts. But the main thing is I didn't really tell anybody what happened to my wife about those two events, but I saw what I saw wasn't her father, but it was like an outline of her dog, and I pushed it away.
Well, that's exactly, Anthony, let me jump in. I've got some other calls. Yeah, I do want to thank you for the phone call.
And, yeah, you bet.
And what's important here is what makes anybody a believer is once they see it for themselves. I've seen a ghost one time. I can't explain what I saw. But it made me a believer. It only happened once. That was all the way West Coast. Now let's go all the way East Coast to New York and Edward. Edward, welcome to Coast to Coast AM.
Hey, Jimmy, how you doing this morning?
Doing good, Edward. What's on your mind?
Oh, well, I wanted to tell you, George had a show on a couple 2 weeks ago. I couldn't get through that night. There was a whole thing about dogs, like a black dog.
Right.
On the highway.
Right.
Did you hear that show?
No, but okay. I've done many shows on the black dogs on the highway. So.
Okay, I'm 45.
Right.
It was back in 1990. I'm driving my friend from Long Island out to Tucson, Arizona.
Right.
I'm coming through the mountains.
Right.
Into Alamogordo, New Mexico.
Okay.
And this dog comes out, and I'm like, shit, I'm going to hit him. And so I stopped the truck. I'm pulling a trailer. I'm driving a Toyota pickup with a U-Haul trailer. And I said, all right. So he comes up to the driver's side door. Now, I know I had plenty of rest because I'm sleeping during the day. He's driving during the day. I drive all night. I wake my buddy up. Darren, wake up. I said, look at this. The dog gets up, and he had short front legs, like a dingo. A dingo's...
Yeah, I get it. Did he have red eyes? What color was his eyes?
Yeah, the eyes were glowing.
What about legs? Did he have legs?
He was indigenous to Africa. They're not in the Southwest, out in the desert.
Well, I think they're... Aren't they Australian? But anyway, did he have legs?
Anyway, he comes up. I rolled my window down a little bit, and I said, no, something's not right. So I lock the door. I push the button down with my elbow because I'm left-handed.
Right.
Hit the door, and then I reach over with my right hand. I roll the window up. He scratched on the window. Then he was literally trying to open the door.
No way. He was on the door handle?
He stood up. He, like, stood up on his hind legs.
Right.
Back hind legs, and he was literally trying to lift the door handle like he knew what he was doing. And I said, Darren, wake up. And he looked over. He goes, what the hell is that? I put it in first gear. It was a manual truck. I put it in first. I start, and we were on a hill going up. I'm like, I don't know what the hell that was, but that was crazy.
That's insane. So his little dingo paws were like trying to get into the door handle?
Reached and tried to open the door on the truck.
That's crazy.
Like if I didn't lock it in time, he probably would have opened the door on me.
Wow.
I'll never forget it. I was about 20, 21. I'm 45 now. Craziest thing. I got one more for you.
It's got to be really quick because we're at the end of the show, and I've got a bunch of calls I want to get everybody in.
Yeah, I know. Thank you so much for having me on. I love this show. My buddy Bobby turned me on to it. We listen whenever we can. There's one more. I'm leaving out of New York. I'm driving a van, a work truck, from New York to Chicago. I'm out in Pennsylvania, thickest fog I ever drove in. Pull over. I got to relieve myself. Next thing, there's the brightest light on top of me through the thickest fog, the brightest light ever. And a friend of mine said, well, maybe you were, like, pulled over to do your thing next to a prison or something, and they shine the spotlight on you. No noise, no PA, you know, no public announcement, no noise.
Well, what was it, Edward, real quick?
Jimmy, it was so bright that it shined down on my van, so bright. I jumped in a van, it freaked me out, and I punched it out.
Wow.
I got up to 80 miles an hour, like, in no time, because the van was pretty powerful. It went. And that light followed me as fast as it could down the highway.
Wow. That's amazing.
Yeah, the thing was, and this is, you know, whatever it was, that would be like 04.
Right.
So you're talking 14 years later.
Yeah, that's interesting. And Edward, thank you for the phone call. Very X-Files-ish, if you know where I'm going with that. Let's go back out west here to Tom, right here in California. Tom, welcome to Coast to Coast AM.
Jimmy, thank you for squeezing me in. I know you're in a rush. I want to draw attention to what criminalizing the reckless operation of corporations. There was a op-ed piece in the New York Times on the 7th. I posted it at the Facebook Coast to Coast listeners page. Anyways, the guy from Masonry with the coal miners actually got a prison sentence for recklessly operating that the mine where 29 miners died some years ago.
And that was one of the top demands of Occupy Wall Street that was voted on a webinar shortly before they shut all the camps down. Well, I was hoping the listeners would take interest in that, maybe look into it and start posting things in a different social media, try to get bring this up to the public awareness.
Well, I appreciate that, Tom. Anything else? We got 30 seconds.
Yeah, that's pretty much reckless, criminalize the reckless operation of corporations.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. And it seems to be the subject matter, even though I don't jump into politics. In fact, I don't even know how I'm an, how do you say that you're an agnostic politically, Dan? I mean, how do you even verbalize that? But that's me. I'm right down the middle. We might have time for just one more call. Let's go with Eddie in Vanco. Eddie, where's Vanco?
Vancouver.
Oh, Vancouver. See, my producer here just put Vanco. I guess that's the cool way to say Vancouver, right?
Hey, thanks, Jimmy, for taking me on the call. Thanks for the call. Great show, I had a question when Adam was talking earlier, but I just wanted to comment on the, I come from the scientific side of maybe the argument, and long time skeptic, but I think the evidence is beyond, it's just in front of us.
Well, there's no question about that, Eddie. No question at all.
Yeah. So, okay. The question was more technical, on the technical side of things. So, Adam spoke of showing him on a screen what looked like a purple planet.
Right.
Correct?
Yep.
Did he ever explain what kind of screen it is? I mean, what was it? What kind of screen? Was he looking at a screen that we look like, we look something that's similar to what we see, or...
Right. Eddie, that's, that's interesting that you bring up that point, because I've talked to Adam quite a bit about this, and I know he's listening right now. And if you follow him on Twitter, you can certainly go and ask him some of these questions specifically. Sure. But the one thing about Adam, when he describes his experiences, both in regression therapy and his actual lucid memories themselves, is that he doesn't give in and subscribe to extensive details that he just doesn't remember. I asked him about, did it feel like the ship was moving? Not really. Were you able to look out a window? Yeah, well, kind of. I saw the moon. It only happened once. What he doesn't do is he only tells the truth as he knows it. It's not like he is describing looking out tons of windows and looking at the solar system and looking back at Earth. No, he doesn't do that. And so when you ask about a screen like you're asking about right now, I've asked about those details. I've asked if there was controls for the ship. I asked him if he saw anybody piloting the ship, and he said no. I didn't see any of that stuff, and that's one of the things that, and he won't give in to that. He's not gonna. He hasn't given in to the sensationalism, and he hasn't blown the story into something that doesn't exist. The story and his experience, Eddie, is what it is, and so when you push him for details, he doesn't have those kind of, because he doesn't know.
Yeah, he comes out as extremely truthful, frankly, and he doesn't get intimidated by other questions that might come through, and he seems like he has a story. These details are as if they are in a different, space and time. I'm not really sure, but he's maintaining the same thing, at least what I've looked at as of recently. Today is the first time I hear it, so hey, thank you, Jamie.
Well, that was the point. Thank you for that, Eddie. That was the point. I wanted Adam to come on the show tonight because his story nobody has ever heard before. And there's nothing wrong with other experiencers out there and contactees and reading their books and seeing the movies, because those are the famous cases that we can relate to and we know about, and they're important cases. But Adam is a case that nobody has ever heard about or heard from and before. And I knew it was going to be great for the Coast audience just to sit down and listen. The most important thing, Eddie, and I share this every time I'm on the radio, what's most important here is not to believe me, not to believe the guest. That's not what's going on here. You need to listen. That's it. That's the most important part. Listen, and then go and follow up and answer your own questions for yourself. And to have somebody come on tonight with brand new information, that somebody that you've never heard from before, is the most important thing that I can do for the Coast listeners. Whether you believe him or believe me or not, that's not what we're here for. We're here to present information. And Adam, his story and his experiences are 52 years worth. I want to thank you for the call, Eddie. Thank you so much. And we'll see you right here tomorrow night. I want to thank Dan. Got to thank Bobo. Got to thank George, Tom, Lisa, Stephanie, of course, Chris. I'm your host, Jimmy Church. I'll be here right here tomorrow night with Dr. Carmen Balter. We're going to be discussing the breaking news out of Egypt, King Tut's tomb, and all of her recent research in Egypt. I'm your host, Jimmy Church. This has been Coast to Coast AM. Good night, everybody.